vir u dankie sê vir hierdie wonderlike dag. In die wete dat u vir ons lief is en dat u u seun vir ons gegee het sodat ons kan lewe hê. En lewe in oorvloed en daai lewe wat u vir ons gee is deur en in u seun vir ewig. En Vader, ek wil vra dat as ons hier is vanoggend met 'n verwagting en 'n afwagting in ons hart dat u met ons sal praat, dat u ons harte sal oopmaak, ons geestes oë sodat ons kan sien en hoor wat u sê. Vader, ek vra dat wat mense hoor vanoggend is nie my stem nie, maar u stem. En dat hulle nie my sal onthou nie, maar u woord sal onthou. En ons vra dat net u woord sal spreek met ons deur u Gees in Jesus se naam. Amen. Dis 2014, dis 'n nuwe jaar. En dit is al Februarie, so ons is al goed op pad in die nuwe jaar en die lekker ding van 'n nuwe jaar is vir baie van ons is dit 'n geleentheid om van voor te begin ten opsigte van ons drome en ons planne en ons doelwitte in die lewe. En miskien in daai konteks wil ek graag vir julle vra wie van julle hier vanoggend het doelwitte. You know, who of you have got goals? You know, there's some of us that really have goals for this year, vir hierdie jaar en ook doelwitte vir ons lewens. We all have needs and desires that we are trusting that God will meet in this year and in our lives. I mean, I think that's almost universal. Die feit dat ons begeertes en behoeftes het en baie van daai begeertes en behoeftes is gekoppel aan doelwitte. En ek is nie hier om te praat oor hoe om doelwitte te skep en hoe om doelwitte te beplan nie. Ek dink nie dit is doodnatuurlik vir ons as mense. Binne in ons behoeftes en begeertes wat ons het, koppel ons baie keer doelwitte aan daai behoeftes en begeertes om dit te sien volbring, you know, to see that being fulfilled and met in our lives. En dit is in hierdie konteks van begeertes en doelwitte wat ek graag met julle wil deel, wat ek voel die Here ook op my hart geplaas het vir ons hier vandag. En ek wil gaan na 'n baie bekende versie toe, 'n bekende versie wat ek seker daarvan ons almal baie ken en ek is een van daai mense wat mal is oor bekende versies. Ek hou daarvan om te preek oor die bekende versies wat niemand meer oor preek nie, want dit is so bekend en almal het al so baie gehoor oor daai versie, maar die rede hoekom daai verse bekend is omdat dit kragtig is. Dis Johannes, dis soos Johannes 3 vers 16. Die rede hoekom almal hom ken is omdat daai vers saamvat so baie wat so kragtig is. En ek wil vanoggend 'n versie deel met u in die konteks van ons behoeftes en ons bevreugde in ons begeertes en daai doelwitte wat ons stel in die lewe. Voel ek ook die Here sê vir ons vandag hier in Matteus 6 vers 33. En ek het dit in al twee tale. Matteus 6 vers 33. Maar soek eers die koninkryk van God en sy geregtigheid en al hierdie dinge sal vir julle bygevoeg word. In die konteks van ons behoeftes, ons begeertes en ons doelwitte, voel ek die Here spreek met ons almal en hy sê, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. What a powerful scripture, what a powerful word God is speaking to us. En daar's regtig 4 punte wat ek met julle wil deel vanoggend. En die eerste is, ek wil begin hier met seek first. God is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, the reality is in life, we all seek after different things. All of us here are seeking after different things in life and multiple things. Most of us, there are different things in life that we are seeking after. There are different things, multiple things, not just one or two or three. For most of us, there are many things in life that we are seeking after. And it's in this context of seeking different things that God is speaking to us. And he says, in the midst of all the things that you're seeking after, it's not that I'm ignoring the fact that you're seeking after different things. God is not saying seek only. He's saying seek first. And what he's saying in the context of all the things that you're seeking after, you must seek after this first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So God speaks in the context of our needs and of our desires. And he's not ignoring them. But he's speaking about priority. Hy praat oor prioriteit in ons lewens. In die konteks van al die goeders waarna ons soek in die lewe, hierdie een ding moet prioriteit wees tussen al die ander. Soek eers die koninkryk van God en sy geregtigheid. Dit is baie interessant in Grieks, die woord vir eers, first, is proton, which literally means firstly in time, firstly in place, firstly in order or importance, first in rank. So God is clearly saying, is clearly speaking to us about priorities. In the midst of everything that we're seeking after, this thing should be first. God is saying there are many things that we are seeking after, but this should be first in our lives. But then he's also speaking about something that is more than just priority. He's speaking about pursuit, because he's saying seek first. First speaks about the priority, about the order of things in our life, but then he talks about seeking. And seeking is more than priority. It speaks about a pursuit, a pursuit in life. It's more than priorities. You must understand that this is about a pursuit. In Greek, that word for seek is zitiu, that literally means to seek after, to strive after, to crave and demand something from someone. Do you see that? That's more than just priority. That this is a pursuit in life that God is speaking of. This is not just a nice to have, the kingdom of God. And he's right. This is not just a nice to have. This is something that we strive after, that we crave for, that we demand. It's far more than priority. It is a craving for, seeking after. It's like demanding food from someone. Wie van julle het babatjies hierso? Wie van julle het babas gehad? Okay. Wanneer die babatjie honger is, then he's demanding something. And this one I begin is skree. Jy weet, wanneer 'n babatjie honger is en al wat hy kan dink is die feit dat hy honger is en hy het kos nodig, daai babatjie skree en skree, it becomes a pursuit. It's not a priority anymore. This is a pursuit in that little baby's heart for food. And he cries and he seeks and he continues to cry until he finds, finally, that what he is seeking after. And that's the concept. Dis meer as net a nice to have. Jy weet, dis meer as net die derde 4x4 in die motorhuis. Jy weet, die derde ene wat daar staan, wat toegerus is vir die kampeer uitstappies. Ons ry nooit met hom nie. Ons het 2 voertuie by die huis en dan het ons hierdie derde ene. En hy is in die garage en hy is toegerus, nee, met alles wat jy kan dink wat jy nodig het as jy uitgaan om te gaan kampeer, en hy wag daar sodat ons hom kan gebruik so 1 keer 'n maand as ons kan wegslip. You know, that's a nice to have. That's a nice to have. And so many Christians, when we talk about seeking the kingdom of God, we think of it as a nice to have. Wouldn't it be nice to have the kingdom of God manifest in our town? You know, this is not a nice to have when God says seek first. It's a craving after, it's a demand for. This is what life is about. Seek first the kingdom of God. So it speaks more than a priority. It speaks about a hunger and a thirst for something. And God says you must hunger and thirst for something. You know about a hunger and thirst. You know, here in Matthew and Matthäus 5 vers 6, die Here sê, salig is die wat honger en dors na geregtigheid, want hulle sal versadig word. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you see that? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. En vanoggend wil ek vir u vra 'n eenvoudige vraag, maar ek dink is so 'n belangrike vraag. En dit is, waarvoor is u honger en dors? Waarvoor is u honger en dors in hierdie lewe? What are the things in life that you really want? En hoekom dit so belangrik is, want die dinge waarvoor ons honger en dors is, sal bepaal waardeur ons versadig word. The things that you hunger and thirst for will determine what you will be satisfied with. En ek voel dis een van die vrae wat die Here op my hart gelê het om vir ons almal te vra, waarvoor is jy honger en dors? Want waarvoor jy honger en dors is, sal bepaal waarmee jy bevredig word. Jy weet, as ek honger is by die huis en my vrou sien en dan vra sy vir my. Sy vra vir my, waarvoor is jy lus? Ek meen, is jy lus vir pizza? Is jy lus vir pasta? Is jy lus vir 'n toebroodjie? Ek meen, waarvoor is jy honger? En waarvoor ek honger is, bepaal waardeur ek versadig word. And God is simply asking us, what are you hungry and thirsty for? Because that will determine what you'll be satisfied with. If you're hungry and thirsty for food, you will not be satisfied with marshmallows. It doesn't work. The question is, what are you hungry and thirsty for? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. En dis my eerste preek. Ek het twee preke in een gegooi hierso, want ek is so min hier. Maar dit was my eerste preek. En vir van u hierso vanoggend is dit al wat u moet hoor. Dis dit. Hierdie eerste preek. En ek weet nie wie u is nie, maar vir van u hier vanoggend is dit al wat die Here vir u wil sê. Priority and hunger and thirst. What do you hunger and thirst for? Make my kingdom and my righteousness first. Make it the pursuit of your life. Dis vir die eerste helfte. Vir die tweede helfte, I think, the context in which God spoke these words, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The context in which God spoke is so powerful. And that's one of the things that you will learn in Bible school, how to interpret scripture, is to look at that verse that speaks to you. Look at it in its context. What is the context in which God is speaking so that we can have a clearer understanding of what God is saying? Because we don't want, if I tell you, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? I'm sure we'll have 50 different interpretations. And the challenging, but also the awesome thing about the Word of God, we can allow scripture to interpret scripture. We can allow God to interpret what it means and not man. So I don't want to tell you what it means. I just want to tell you the context in which God is speaking when He says, but seek first the kingdom of God. And I want us to look at that because it is saying something equally important to us here today. And I want us to turn to, if you've got a Bible, you can go there. I mean, as your Bible hit, you can saam met my soon to draai, maar ek het hom hier agterop in geval jy vergeet het om hom saam te bring. Is Matteus 6 van vers 25, en ek wil hê ons moet vers 33 lees in die context van wat Jesus besig is om te sê, en ek wil hê ons moet begin by vers 25, en ek wil hê jy moet mooi beginne dink en kyk of jy die context kan sien waarin Jesus praat, en hy starts off en hy says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. all of a sudden, verse 33 is placed in the context and it opens up something awesome. And it summarized this whole context in which God is speaking to us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is summarized here in verse 25 when He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. God is speaking to us in the context of our lives. And He's saying, do not worry about your life. Who of you are worrying about something? Who of you are stressing about something in life? I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes, everybody. Just close your eyes. I don't want you to look around. I just want you to think about the things that you are worrying about. The things that causes stress in your life. Just for a moment, I just want you to think about those things. I love the way how God speaks through His Son. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. I want you to hear God speaking to you. Therefore, I am saying to you, do not worry about your life. You can open your eyes. Isn't that powerful? God is speaking to you in the midst of your worry and your stress and your fear. God is saying, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. You see, God sees from a different perspective than we do. I mean, we here on earth and we're constrained by the temporal reality of this dimension that we're living in with all the temptations and the fears and the pressures. And God, from a different perspective, looks down upon us. This is the Almighty, All-Powerful, All-Knowing, the Creator of the universe, the Sustainer of the universe. This is God Almighty looking down upon us. And from His perspective, which is completely different to ours, I agree. But from God's perspective, He's looking down upon you and me and He's saying, therefore I, Almighty, All-Knowing, All-Powerful, Eternal God is saying to you, do not worry about your life. I mean, isn't that powerful? God saying, therefore, I say, I am saying to you, I am God. Do not worry about your life. And He emphasizes this point that we must realize who is the one that's speaking to us. He's saying, look at nature. Look around you. Look how I sustain the birds in the air. Look how I sustain the flowers. Look how I care for them. You are far more value than they. Therefore, I say to you, if I look after them like this, how much more will I not care for you? That's Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do you see that? This is God speaking. The Almighty, All-Powerful. You know, therefore is such a powerful word. I love therefore. I love the Word of God. I love studying Scripture. I love reading it. And one of my favorite words in the Bible is this word, therefore. Whenever I see therefore, I underline it. Who have you underlined therefore? Nobody. I'm the only crazy guy. But whenever I see a therefore, I underline it. Because it's so powerful. Because therefore is normally followed by an awesome promise. But the therefore points to the premise of the promise. It points to the foundation on which this promise stands. And so many times we read the promise, but we miss the foundation on which it's built. And here again, in this portion of scripture, there's just so many therefores. I just love it. And here's one of them. It says, therefore, and it points to the promise, the evidence. It is like the evidence of the promise. What does this promise stand on? And it is so powerful. Therefore, it says, listen, look how God feeds and cares for everything around you. Look, just open your eyes to nature. Therefore, you see how powerful it is. But you know what? But it's so powerful. It's not just God eternal, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God that speaks to us. This is God speaking through Christ. Which brings a different dimension to this altogether. This is the incarnated Word, Jesus Christ, that is speaking the words of God to us. Why is that significant? Because it's God that's saying, it's not just I who created life. It is me, Christ, who have become one of you. I'm living with you. I have become one of you. I've made myself vulnerable to be human like you. I lived among you. I faced the same realities. I faced the same fears. I was tempted in the same way. I understand where you're coming from. I understand the pressures. I understand the realities of this world and the confines of this temporal and all the pressures and all the temptations and all the realities of living in this world. Therefore, I say to you, look to your Father. Do not worry about your life. I'm not only the God who created the world perfect and cannot relate to the fallen nature and the pressure and the temptation of this world. This is I who have come to live it for myself amongst you. I have experienced it firsthand, the pressures and the fears and the temptations. And I am saying to you, do not worry about your life. Hebrews 4, verse 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore boldly to the throne of grace, come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Isn't that awesome? It's not just the God that cannot relate to the fallen nature and the circumstances that we find ourselves. This is God that came to live it with us for himself. And it is from his perspective that he is speaking to you and I, and he says, do not worry about your life. It's from this vantage point that he speaks to us. Therefore, chapter 6, verse 31 to 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And I want to stop here for a moment, and I want to speak about all these things. Because I know in the charismatic world, there's lots of different interpretations of what that means. I just want to tell you what Scripture says. I just want to tell you what Jesus says. What is these things? Because there are so many people that have different ideas what all these things is. Is Jesus talking about the third car? Is he talking about the second strandes? Tweede strandes? Is that the all things that he's talking about? Is he talking about the second wife? What is the all things that he's adding? And is he talking about the million rand? What is the all things? Because Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. So what is these things that he's talking about? You know what's the challenging thing? It's not talking about the second home. not talking about the third 4x4. He's talking about our basic needs. I mean, the context in which he was speaking is about food and clothing. It's just your basic needs. I know what you need. And please don't misunderstand me. There's a difference between needs and desires, but please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless you with your desires. That God doesn't want to bless you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying God doesn't want to and God cannot. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, what God is saying, is he's talking about your needs. He's not talking about your desires. It's something completely different. And God can bless you with that also. But that's not what he promises. His promise is to look after our needs. And there's a difference between the two. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be rich. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying God never promised to make us rich. He promises to care for us in our basic needs. God is saying, I know what you need. And I'm please, God can bless you financially also, but that's not what God is promising. The whole scripture is really about our hearts. You know what? God promises us eternal life. That's what he's promising us, eternal life. You know what, and you know why it's so important? I see so many Christians offended with God. Have you met Christians that are offended with God? I find it so difficult because you know what, for me it was easy. I came to know God. I came to accept him. I gave my life to God at the point of suicide. Okay, I suffered from depression. I hated myself. Life was just too hard to bear, and the only way out for me was to take my life. And every time I was at the point of suicide, God spoke to me, and I was so angry with God that he interfered every time. And at one point, I realized God was speaking to me. He says, I don't want you to kill yourself. I want you to live, not die, because I gave you my son. Because I love you so much, I gave you my son so that you can have life. And all of a sudden, my eyes opened up to see this loving God that gave everything for me so that I don't have to die. And I realized that I was going to hell. And if God didn't save me through his son, I would be going to hell. And he saved me from hell, the consequence of my sin. And because he saved me, I'm going to heaven. I don't care if I get the second house or the second wife or the third car. It doesn't matter. I'm going to heaven. I'm eternally grateful. It doesn't matter. And I'm not saying, please, don't. I'm not saying you should get a second wife. Let's scrap that one. I have one wife. I love her to bits. I don't want to change her. But you know what I mean? It's not about what he can add to me. It's about what he's already given me through his son, and that's eternal life. And I'm eternally grateful for that. But I see so many Christians, they come into the kingdom of God, salesperson sold a lie. That if you follow Jesus, you'll have the second house, you'll have the third car, you'll have the $1 million. We've heard that before. And then all of a sudden, they don't get the second house. And they get offended with God. They get offended with God. Because they didn't come in with an understanding of eternal life. And this whole portion of scripture really goes about where do you put your trust in? Where's your heart rooted into? That's what Jesus is talking about. In the whole context of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's talking about where's your heart? What do you trust in? And God is saying, put your trust first in me, not in stuff. Because this whole world is about stuff. It's about getting more stuff, getting more money, getting more houses, getting more cars, getting more wives, getting more stuff. There's the wives again. You know, that's what the world says. If you're not happy with the one, replace it with the other. You need more of this, more of that. And that your peace, your joy, your security is found in the accumulation of stuff. And God is saying, you will, and the world will communicate to us, you know what, you'll come to that place of peace where you just go, you know, I can relax. I'm safe. I'm cared for. I'm provided for. I don't need to worry. The world says, you'll get to that place of, everything is just fine. When you have enough stuff. If you have enough stuff, finally at one point, which never ends, by the way, at one point you will come to the place where you go, and God says, no, you know what? You're not going to find your peace in there. You'll find your peace in me. So where do you put your heart? Where do you trust in? That's what the whole scripture is about, moving our hearts. It's moving our hearts to trust and base our lives on the premise, the principle that governs the kingdom of God, as opposed to putting our hearts, our trust, on the principle that governs this world. And God is saying, move your heart. I mean, verse 25 puts it so clearly, Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore, remember we started off with verse 25, and this whole portion of scripture that speaks about the fact that you should not worry about your life. This whole thing that we say is therefore, it started with the therefore. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. But you know what? This therefore also points to something. Have you ever looked at what that points to? Because this whole thing about do not worry about your life, but first seek the kingdom of God, because God knows all the things that you need and He will provide for you. It's based on another premise. So I want us to look at that even before verse 25, and I want us to turn to verse 19 to 25. And we look at what is this premise, what is this principle, what is the foundation of this awesome promise that God says to you and me, do not worry about your life. It starts here, verse 19, He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Do you see that? So where is your heart? What do you trust? What do you rely on? What are you pursuing after? Because it's going to determine where your treasure is. If you think you're going to find your peace in stuff, that's what you're going to pursue. That's what you're going to be satisfied with. Then he goes on and he says, no one can serve two masters. You will hate the one and love the other. Or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Verse 25. You see the context. And God is saying something powerful. He says, listen here, that what the world is seeking after cannot give you peace. And you cannot serve both of them either. But because you have chosen to follow me, because when he says you cannot serve both God and money, but because you have chosen to serve me, because you have chosen to put your trust in me, because you've made that decision, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Isn't that powerful? Where do you put your trust in? Because you are serving me. Getting our hearts out of the principles that governs this world, and getting our hearts into the principles that governs eternity. Moving our hearts to trust and to base our lives on the premise, the principle that governs the kingdom of God. And that's why it's so important, because so many people get offended with God because they think it's both. It's like, you know, a friend shared with me a while ago, he said, you know, there's some people that used to follow after stuff, and then they get the revelation that we must first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It must be priority in our lives before these things. And then these things will be added to us, and then they leave these things, and they seek first God with an expectation that those things are going to come. It's like there's strings attached to it. And then they follow Jesus first because those things are still coming. the second horse, the third car. And they get offended because it didn't come. Because there were strings attached to it, because our heart was still in both places. And please do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's wrong to be rich. I'm not saying that God cannot bless you with the third house. And it's not going to bless you with the second wife. But you must keep the wife that you have. But you understand what I mean. It's not wrong to be rich. It's not wrong to have other stuff added to you. But you know what? In my life is a testimony of that. I gave up everything, and I don't say you must do that. Please don't misunderstand me. But God called me to the ministry. I gave up everything to follow Jesus. I gave up my inheritance. I gave up the farm. I gave up everything. I sold everything, and I went into the ministry for nothing. I started off as a volunteer the first 2 years. I didn't earn anything. And then my first salary was 300 rand a month. Praise God. But you know what? I'm no longer poor. God added all these stuff and more, and I'm blessed, man. I only have one car, but I've got three bicycles. Okay? and I live in an awesome town, in an awesome house, but I never pursued it. It like followed me. And you know, and what I realized is because I was just pursuing the kingdom, and when I lose stuff or break stuff, you know, and I break lots of stuff, it doesn't hurt that much. Because God added it as a blessing, and there's no sorrow attached to it. It was just over and above, and I'm so thankful for everything that God blesses me with. So please don't misunderstand me. It's not wrong to be rich. It's not wrong to be blessed. But that's not what the kingdom is about. We shouldn't put our trust in that. We shouldn't put our desire into that. We mustn't put our hunger and thirst into stuff. We must put our hunger and thirst into the kingdom. And God will bless you anyway. Maybe not the way you interpret it to be, but God's going to bless you because God knows what you need. I want to read you another scripture that sometimes nobody preaches on, but it's challenging. But it just relates again to this heart. What do you hunger and thirst for? The principles in the world as opposed to the principles that governs. Because, you know, here in 2 Timothy, I think it's the next line, 2 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 10, it says something powerful. It says, but godliness with contentment. In other words, no strings attached. Godliness with contentment has great gain. And then just to put it out there, it's not my interpretation. It's not what Andres is saying. It's just what the Word of God says. It kind of defines what is contentment. He says here, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You see the basic needs? And then he goes on, and he goes on, verse 9. Those who want to get rich. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap. And into many foolish and harmful desires. You see the desires, the hunger and the thirst that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager, hungry and thirsty for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Do you see that? Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's wrong to be rich. I'm not saying God cannot bless you financially. And I'm not saying God's not going to give you the second house. And you have, if you have a second house, you should be guilty about it. No, God bless you. What God is saying is, where do you put your heart in? What are you hunger and thirst after? Where do you put your heart and trust into? Because that will determine where do you have peace. This world says, if you have enough stuff, you're going to have peace. But that's a lie. I mean, you've got magazines. When I was in England, you had magazines. You still have them in this, you know, the You and the People and what do they call themselves that follows the celebrities. Have you seen those magazines? You know, the Beckhams and you know, they follow their lives. You know, the paparazzi that follows them everywhere. Go read it, man. They've got all the money, all the fame, everything that the world says will give you peace, and their lives are a mess. They divorce, and they're depressed, and they use drugs, and they die, and they commit suicide, because it doesn't give you peace. This is the idols of the world. All respect, but they die like flies. Figuratively. Because you can't find peace there. And God is saying something awesome. He says, listen here. Because you chose not to trust in these things, but you put your trust in me, I will take care of you. And therefore I say to you, because you put your trust in me, and not in this world, and not in things in this world, but in me, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you. Lord, I want to thank you that you loved us so much. Father, that you were willing to give us your Son. You were willing to humble yourself, Lord, and to empty yourself of all honor and worship and glory, God, and you humbled yourself to become like us, to become a man, Lord, like us. And Lord, you were not born into royalty, you were not born into fame, you were not born into wealth. Lord, you were born in a manger, homeless. You were born of a woman that had a label on her, illegitimate child. You were conceived before she was married. You had a label. You humbled yourself, Lord. And you lived your life amongst us. You shared in our pressure, in our pain, in our temptations, Lord. You cried with us. You laughed with us. And God, you took upon us all our shame, all our guilt, all the things that would keep us from a loving Father. You embraced it all and you faced the Holy God with our sin, with my sin. And you were punished. God, you punished your own Son because you loved us so much that you didn't want to punish us. So you punished your Son. So that we can be free. So that we can be confident to come into your presence. The Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, the Holy God. We can come into your presence without fear. And we can call you Abba, Father, Daddy God. We can come without fear into your presence at any time and say, Lord, my Father, thank you for loving me. Lord, you said we are just strangers passing through this world to you. You've removed everything that would hinder us. We want to thank you for that. I want to thank you, God, that we are more valuable than anything because you've placed value on us through purchasing us. Not with gold, not with silver. You purchased us. You bought us for the life of your Son. There's nothing more valuable in the universe than the lives here today in this place. You love us so much. God, I want to thank you for that. You love me, God, me, the selfish, self-centered, bitter, person I was. You gave your Son for me so that I can have life. Life that overflows. Life that I cannot contain the knowledge of you. And you know the things that we are facing, the struggles and the challenges and the pressures that we are facing. And God, I want to pray specifically for those who are here today, Father, that are struggling with worry and fear and stress, God. Because I believe you are speaking to them as a father to your children. You are speaking to them today and you're saying, my child, I love you. Do not worry about your life. If that is you, if you're struggling with stress and fear and worry in your life, I just want you to respond to God. Just wait, all the eyes are closed. Just raise your hand. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I have stuff in my life that I'm worried about. Stuff that I'm afraid of. Stuff that I'm stressed about, Lord. Stuff that I don't understand. Stuff that it is out of my control. Father, it is out of my control. You can just drop your hands here. Father, I want to thank you for these people, Lord, because you are speaking to them today. You are saying, I am. I am. Almighty. All-powerful. All-knowing. Loving Father. I am your Father. I'm not going to let you fall. I love you. Do not worry about your life. Just follow me. Just follow me. Put your trust in me. Move your heart. Seek first. I will take care of the rest. I know what you need. I'll take care of you. Maybe you are here while all the eyes are closed. Maybe you've never followed God. Maybe you've never followed Jesus. Maybe you've never come to that place where you say, God, I'm going to put my trust, my life in your hands. Maybe you did it some time ago and your heart is kind of turned. And you started to put your trust in other things and you've kind of wandered away. I really believe God is speaking to you today. He says, my child, I love you. I love you. I want you to come back because where you're going, there's no life. I want you to come back because I have life for you. And I'm here today for you to call you back. If that is you, if you've never given your life to God or you've turned away from Him, your heart has grown cold, God wants to draw you back to Him. If that is you, I just want you to respond by just raising your hand. Say, here I am, God. Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? I see those hands. You can drop them. Thank you. If that is you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, I want you to do something bold. If you've raised your hand now, I just want you to quickly come forward. If you've raised your hand, you want to turn back to Jesus. You want to follow Him. You want to put your trust in His hand. I want to give you an opportunity to quickly come forward. Just quickly. I know it feels awkward. There's something powerful when you act on that. I don't give you an opportunity to stand today in front here. And I want to pray with you. So I want to ask you to quickly come forward. You raise your hand. Let's just give them a hand. Let's give them a hand. You've raised your hand. You want to turn back to Jesus. Give you an opportunity to do that. This is powerful because this is what it's all about. This is powerful because all that you're saying is saying, Lord, I'm gonna choose to put my heart back to where it belongs. That's what it's all about. And I want to encourage you. I'm gonna pray for these people, and I'm gonna pray for those who've raised your hand earlier about the stress and the worry. Father, I want to thank you, Father, that those who've chosen today to acknowledge, Lord, their fear and their stress. Lord, I want to thank you that they can come to you today. And I want you just to come to Him where you are now. And Father, I want to thank you, Father. I'm going to give you an opportunity just now. I'm going to give you an opportunity to bring that stress, to bring that fear, to bring that worry, the things that's in your heart that keeps you back, the things that that makes you fear and worry and stress, I want you to go to God in your seat, just as you sit, just between you and God. I want you to bring those things. Bring those things that is out of your control. Bring those things that's in your control. It doesn't matter what it is, but the things that cause worry in your life, I want you to go to God and I'm going to say, Father, I want to bring these things, Lord. I want to bring this thing. I want to bring this relationship. I want to bring this court case. I want to bring this financial pressure. I want to bring this uncertainty, Lord. I want to bring this fear, God. I want to bring it to you, Father. And I want to thank you that, Lord, you understand. You understand. You lived here. Lord, I want to bring it to you because you are God Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful. I want to bring this thing, Father. I pray, Father, in my time of need, Lord, in my time of fear, God, I pray for your grace and your mercy to help me. Lord, I want to choose to declare today, Lord, that I'm not going to put my trust in the things of this world. I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm not going to seek these things. I'm going to seek you, God. I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to seek you first, Lord. And I want to pray, Father, that as they do that, and I want you just to quickly, as you are there, just bring those things in your own voice, in your own words, just softly, just between you and God. Just bring those things to God, just as you're seated. But name them. Name them. So, Lord, I want to bring this relationship, this accusation, this financial pressure, this business, this court case, whatever it is, just bring it. And say, Lord, help me not to put my faith in these things, but in you. Say, Lord, I want to follow you first. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to them what that means. God, you'll speak to them what it means to first seek you and your righteousness. God, I pray that you, by your Spirit, Lord, will just come right now, Lord, and that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that surpasses all understanding, Lord, will reign in their hearts, Lord, that they may hear your voice as you are speaking to them today. And I believe I'm here today to simply be a donkey on the road to Damascus that is speaking, and God is speaking, and he's saying, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, because I love you, because you love me. I'm not going to let you drown. I'm not going to let you drown. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to carry you through this thing. You are going to get to the other side. You are going to live. You are not going to die. You are going to live. And I just want to speak life, God. I want to speak life in the hearts of men and women, Lord. I want to speak life in Jesus' name, Lord. I want to speak life to those hands, Lord, that was risen, Lord. I want to speak life to that in Jesus' name, Lord. You will not die. You will live in Jesus' name. God, I want to speak hope, Lord. Not hopelessness, but hope, Lord. I want to speak faith. Not fear, but faith in Jesus' name, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for testimonies, Lord. I pray for testimonies of your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, for these beautiful people here in front, Father. I want to thank you for this young man. That has given his life to you, God. Today, God, he's turning, Lord. He's turning to you and he's facing a new king. And he says, I'm putting my faith in you. And I want to follow you. And God is saying, I see your heart turning today. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see you turn today because I've invested of myself within you. I've invested of my character within you. And it's like seed that is sprouting. This is a saaitjie wat opkom. En ek kan dit sien en ek is opgewonde. Ek is opgewonde oor jou lewe. Ek is opgewonde oor die goed wat ek in jou lewe geplant het. En ek kan sien vandag, wanneer jy draai soos 'n plant sy gesig na die son. Dit is soos water wat op jou val. Ek gaan my gees in jou stort, sodat alles wat ek in jou gesit het, sal groei en het sal lewe. Father, I want to thank you for this man, Lord. I want to thank you, God, that as he's turning today, Lord, I want to thank you, Father, that the seed that you have sown in his life, Lord, will come to life. Lord, I thank you, Father, that the lies spoken in his life will no longer prosper, but that your word of life will prosper. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank you for this awesome woman, Lord, that has placed the trust in you, Lord. That is